Lady Shirin Chavis Halvavas Sharab Wednesday afternoon, Chaf Aleph Iyar, I believe. Let's see. Well, Yutches was Sunday, Yutches is Monday, Chaf is Tuesday, so today's Chaf Aleph, Chaf Aleph Iyar, Sharab Bitachon, Wednesday. Okay, it's a drop early. We'll start summing up where we're up to. We're learning Chavis Halvavas Shar HaBitachon. It's a drop early, but I'm going rear, you know, I'm gazing up the car. Shar HaBitachon, Chavis Halvavas, we're in Perek Dalet, applying Bitachon to life situations. He gives seven things on his list. The first two are money. The third is relationships. The fourth is mitzvahs that only the person himself is involved in. And he really gets into the kishkes of bitachon and, of bechira. Of what, he said, what's in the purview of a person. And there's no bitachon, because when there's bechira, you don't rely on Hashem. You have to do it yourself and make your own decisions. But he then explains that bitachon is entirely appropriate because we ask Hashem to be, that we be able to carry out our intentions. The level of bechira is only in our plans, in our minds. Actually carrying out what we want is chesed Hashem, is reliance on Hashem, because that's already outside of bechira. Bechira is in the mind. Carrying it out, once you have a plan, and it's ritzini, it's serious, it's not just a will-of-the-wisp idea. That's why he even made it into two separate stages, thinking about it and deciding it, or I understood the Chavis Halvavas to be saying, deciding it and making a game plan. Kitzur, it's ritzini, it's serious. Then we'll be talking in Hashem. The fifth item on the list was again mitzvahs, but mitzvahs having to do with others. And so here the basic idea is as in number four, but now that there's other people involved, you want something from them, you want to, you know, you first of all, here's where he stresses, he mentions it throughout the Sefer in passing. But here in number five, in Perek Dalet, Shar HaBitachon, he elaborates more than anywhere else the idea of doing something anonymously, doing something and not looking for kavod, doing something lishma, because once you're in this category of doing mitzvahs involving other people, so by nature that would be something more public. It's not chovos ha'avavos, it's chovos ha'ivarim. You're giving stakah, you're being mesameach chasan kala, you're lending people money, you're doing whatever you're doing with people. So that's by nature somewhat more public. So there you have to guard against two things. You should try, it shouldn't be public. In order to purify your intention, you want to do it lishma. You want to do it lishma. You know, this is not bitachon oriented. This is just he's talking about mitzvahs that involve other people. So he says an area to watch out for is that you're doing it, you're not really serving Hashem, you're serving yourself. It's self-serving. So you want to purify your actions. Ideally, you want to do it anonymously. Now, everybody knows, many times, a lot is gained by doing it not anonymously. Other people use you as a role model. You're showing people that this is an important thing to give to. Let's say if they see you giving, or they see you getting kavod, and they want kavod, and for you, you would do it lishma, but you want to show people that they get kavod. So this is a shaila that comes up, and you know, it's a judgment call. If at the end of your life you look back and you say, and you see you never did it anonymously, then something's wrong. Once in a while you have to do something anonymously just to make sure you're being honest with yourself. Okay, so what, okay, but where does bitachon fit in? So he says bitachon fits in with, you don't expect a payback. You're relying on Hashem. I want to be well liked. I want to be well thought of. And we think of these things and we're very firm about them because I want my kids to get into the schools that I want them to get into. I want my children to get the shidduchim that I want them to get. I want to, you know, I want my kids to have good friends. You know, I want people to hold of me and to like me. And, you know, we couch it in those terms. But essentially what we're doing is, so he says, that's bitachon area. That's why it's on the list. In other words, we apply bitachon in what we want to gain out of doing a mitzvah. We should not do the mitzvah for the purpose of what we hope to gain from it, even if it's a truma cheshbon, I'm saying. But I have bitachon in Hashem that my child will get, I rely on Hashem to get my child into the school that's good for him or her. In fact, Hashem wants your kid to go into the school that's good for him or her. Parents sometimes don't. And I'm saying sometimes because I'm being charitable. Okay, and so that's bitachon. Bitachon in area 5 is have bitachon that what you want to get out of the mitzvah that involves other people, it's very common that you would want something out of it. You can't hide it from people. It can't be done anonymously. And you want some sort of payback, so you have to guard against that and apply bitachon. You're using bitachon to say that what's coming to me is coming to me, what Hashem wants to happen will happen, and I can, and therefore you unlock the mitzvah from the shelo lishma reasons, and you're able to do it with the purity of intention, because you're applying bitachon to a large shalolishma area, which is the result, what you want. In the last paragraph of number 5, in paragraph 4, he says, you know, try, if, again, you know, again, he stresses about doing a mitzvah lishma. He says, but when people praise you, take it with a grain of salt, with a pound of salt. In another area, in Shar Avodas Elokim, he says, when people praise you for doing something, you should think about all the things that they don't know what you did. And if they would only know, then they wouldn't exactly be sitting here praising you. And you know that better than they do. And that's a surefire way not to get a swelled head. Just think about all the things you did, and what would you feel like if they knew about that? So that's again, you have to apply bitachon and don't lose your schar of the mitzvah because you're doing it as self-serving. The reason he talks about it so harshly, because this is the sefer called Kolbas Halavavos, and really, if we're not serving Hashem when we do things. I'll say again, the Chavis of others would say ultimately it's pointless. So you say, well, it's not pointless, I'm not doing an Avera. Nobody ever went to Gehenna. Actually, I don't know. I'm not in charge of the books. But I would assume nobody ever went to Gehenna for doing mitzvah shelo lishma. But you wasted your life. It could have been so much more. It could have accomplished so much more in terms of Olam Haba, in terms of what mitzvahs do for a person spiritually. And we say, Leman lo nigal lo rik v'lo neid leid la behalah. You know, life is hard enough as it is, at least we could max out. The truth is, we're not even supposed to be thinking about Olam Haba. That's already, whoa. But again, whenever we talk about Olam Haba and Schar and Olam Haba, that really, we should try to think of it as a reflection for how spiritual the act is. You know, when I say this kind of action gets you much more schar and olam haba. To do it anonymously, it has much more schar. So we should try to translate into, if you do a mitzvah anonymously, it's much more avodas Hashem. It's much more of a good act. It's much more of a good deed. It's much more spiritual. So that's why the point of life is avodas Hashem. And whenever you have a shalol lishma involved, you're serving yourself. as it's called, self-serving. That's why it's called self-serving. It's self-serving, it's not Hashem serving. So it's really, again, no one's, if these are things we have to work on. No one's expecting anyone to walk out of here or to immediately, it's a process. So it's a whole process. It doesn't come by itself. That's why we're learning Shaar Cheshbon HaNefesh on Sundays. It involves thinking about our Hakaras HaTov to Hashem, how everything is from Him, how He allows us to do everything, how even when I do a mitzvah, this is what we learned in number four, even when I manage to do a mitzvah, like finally, I manage to do a mitzvah, what we think is the most important part of the mitzvah is really not us, it's Hashem. Right? If I decide I want to be Mavakachola, and I work out all the arrangements and this, and then I'm Mavakachola. So if I would ask you, like, what did you do good today? You said I was Mavakachola. So Hashem would say, you would get it wrong on the test. It's a subtlety. What you did good today was that you decided to be Mavakachola despite the obstacles, and you worked out how you can do it despite all the difficulties. That's what you did. That the car worked, and that you didn't get stuck in traffic, and that you got there, and you found a parking spot, and it was visiting hours, and the person wasn't sleeping, that you wore Mavakachola, that's Hashem. That wasn't you. So we thank Hashem for giving us the opportunity to do mitzvahs, because it does lift our actions. In other words, that's clear in the Cholvus Halvavus. Truth is, philosophically, I'm not sure why, but he makes it very clear that we get more schar when it actually gets carried out. Because I know why, because we contributed to the goodness in the world. We contributed to the spirituality of the world, b'poyel, in action. But that's really up to Hashem. But if he sees me as the channel through which to get it done, then that is a reflection on me, and therefore my bechira is much more praiseworthy. Okay, now we're up to number six, and the paragraph we're up to is I will perish hachele kashishi. Now, when we talk about bitachon, I would venture to say that 80% of what we think about are the first two things on the list, which is money, money, money. That's three things. Money, money, money. And 20% is the third thing, which is relationships. The fourth and fifth, which are mitzvahs, which I just summed up and went over, b'chazara, I doubt we even relate that to bitachon. The last two things on the list, number six and seven, I'm quite confident that we would never, ever think of it in bitachon, as a bitachon-oriented thought. And it's two things on the list. And the Chavis HaLalas explains it. And it's important. We don't think about it, not because we have the right attitudes, it's because we didn't learn Chavis HaLalas yet, or we didn't... It's important. Bitachon is applicable in seven areas of life. The last two, and we're up to number six, is... I have bitachon, and I'm relying on Hashem that He will pay me. That yeshachor lepulaseich. I will get the schar for my doing mitzvahs. I'm living a life. I'm trying to live my life according to the way Hashem wants. I am relying on Hashem to reward me. I'm relying on Hashem to give me what I deserve. It doesn't have to be the motivation for the act. Halavai it wouldn't be, although, as I say, that's a madrega we can only dream about. If we do one action a year in which that isn't a motivation, we're way ahead of the game. But I'm talking about not praise from people. That you could do once a month. It's fine. But once a year, we'll say not even Olam Haba. I'm just doing it because you're supposed to do it. I want to make Hashem happy. And I owe Hashem, and it's not just from Chavis HaLalas thought. I owe Hashem so much, this is the least I can do for him. Here's my way of paying him back and showing my appreciation for all that he has done for me. So I'm doing it for him, and the thought of reward doesn't enter my mind. Once a year, it's fine. Maybe after 10 years, try to do it twice a year. Because we have to steig, we have to grow. But that's motivation. But We have to have bitachon. It's part of Torah. It's part of Jewish life. Schar va'onesh. It's one of the 13 animamins. It's a very important aspect of Judaism that people get rewarded for their good deeds. It's Olam Haba. He's talking about now Olam Haba. He's talking about Olam Hazeh. Also, actually, we'll see. Because then you get into Tzadik Feralo, Rosh Hashanah, and we went through that actually in Perek Gimel, if you remember, all of the cheshbonos of, not all, but many of the cheshbonos of Tzadik Feralo and Rosh Hashanah. But I am relying on Hashem. Now, interesting, to pay me for my... We're trying not to think about the onesh part, we think about the schar part. And we'll see now in the Chazal Shalom that involves two aspects. First of all, it will happen. And second of all, and this is difficult to swallow, I'm relying on Hashem, just like part of Bitachon, if you remember the seven things of Bitachon in Perek Beis and Perek Gimel. So the last one on the list is that Hashem, I'm relying on Hashem to do things for me even if I don't deserve it. So part of bitachon of schar for mitzvos is A, that it'll happen, and B, that Hashem will do a chesed with me. That I, even if I don't deserve Olam Haba. And this is, you know, one of the parts where the Chavis HaLoda says something that's really very troubling to us. We don't like to hear it, and that is, we're never ahead of the game. We're always behind the game. We're always on a treadmill. Alibi, we would always be on a treadmill. We're always on a treadmill trying to catch up with our... But the Chavis HaLoda is always l'shitoso. Because since we express our Avodas Hashem as appreciation to Hashem, so as soon as we're born, we're like 9 months behind already of showing appreciation. And as soon as we get a little seichel, that's around age 23, 24, we're 23 years and 9 months behind. And then, like, we're always trying, that's because of the Chavis HaLobos' understanding of our Avodas Hashem and where it has to come from, we're always behind. And that's what he says, it's always the chesed. Which really, ironically, so now we have something else to thank Hashem for, and something else to appreciate, and something else to have Hakaras HaTov for. Because if I feel I deserve it, so my Hakaras HaTov will be a little limited. I'll still appreciate that Hashem made me Jewish, and that he put me in a seviva, whether it's parents or friends, or kehilos that in which I know what to do to find favor in his eyes, but now I did it and I deserve it. But then if we realize that in the Chavis HaLodos' world we very rarely, if ever, deserve the schar, we need midas harachamim. The whole world needs midas harachamim, right? The world, Hashem made a world where midas hadin won't work. Like, why did he do that for? First of all, what was his habamina? Hashem doesn't have habaminas. And second of all, he could have made a world in which midas hadin does work. Right? He created everything. So he could have constructed the world, the universe, the bria, everything, existence itself, he could have constructed in a way where midas hadin does work. So he wanted to show that it's all chesed Hashem, and everything's chesed Hashem, and this constant Chesed Hashem. So when we think Hashem is mean to us, or he's not so good because I stubbed my toe, so you have to remember, like, it's absurd, right? So that's number six: to have bitachon in Hashem that we will get gemul for our mitzvahs. V'hu b'gemul ha'olam hazeh v'olam haba. And our lives will get our schar, however Hashem works it out, we'll get our schar in Olam Hazeh as well. That's a bit more problematic, because people have sorrows their whole lives. Asher yiyeh ha'odam roi lo, b'maisa ha'tov ba'olam. What a person deserves, not really deserves, you know, that's already a subtlety. What's appropriate for a person, because of the way he or she lived their lives. Hu shehagamul al shnei ponim. There are two ways of getting schar. Gemul bolam hazeh belavad, ugemul bolam haba belavad. Some actions carry a schar in this world, some actions carry a schar for the next world. The yeshi ruuyu shneyem al maisa echad. And sometimes you get carried, right? Elu dvarim shadom ochel per oseyem bolam hazeh, v'akeyem keyem eslo oli olam haba. That you get schar in both worlds. We're not privy to the books. We're not privy to exactly what's what and what's when and when's what. Ach orev habore la'amo gmul kolel al maisa kolel. Hashem, the promises in the Torah are really ba'ofan klali. That if, you know, v'hoyem shmoa tishmu el mitzvosai, so v'nosati gishmeichem be'ito. So that's very general, it's not talking specifics, and it's not promising you that tomorrow this will happen to you because today you benched with kavana. It doesn't work like that. That's already getting into, yeah, there's two mitzvahs in the Torah where the Torah did choose. But then there's a machlokis tanoim, right? The Tana saw someone be mekabed of and fell down from the tree and got killed. So he said, where's this guy? He's because yomim. So some tanoim interpret the pasuk, l'man yerichon yomecha b'yom shekulo aruch. And it's a, so, you know, we don't know. That's why this category is even more important to develop bitachon in. But we have bitachon. We rely on Hashem that he's fair. That's, I would put that as maybe like even the hakdama, kel emuna ve'ein avel. Hashem is fair. Our actions are all meaningful. It's all b'sefer nechtovim. It's written down. And Hashem knows how to, I'll say, react, how to pay us, how to be mishalem gemul for everything we do. And it's nothing's lost and nothing's forgotten. V'chol ma'asecha b'sefer nechtovim. And I'm relying on Hashem to do for me, you know, do for me so you say what I deserve. Oh, maybe, that's dangerous, that ground. So you say no, because I'm relying on Hashem to do chesed for me. If my heart's in the right place, and I try, we had this already in Perek Gimel also of Shaar Bitachon. I have to try, I have to work on myself, do my best. You know, it could be I'm not going to reach the Madrega that's, I have to see to it to reach the Madrega that's expected of me. That's the beauty of life. I'm not expected to reach the Madrega of someone else. I'm expected to reach the Madrega that I am capable of. So we strive for it and we work on it, and I'm relying on Hashem that he sees everything and nothing is lost, and he sees I'm trying, and he could see you failing too. You know, he sees the attempts, he sees the failures, you try again, you pick yourself up, you dust yourself off and you try again. And he will pay me back. I'm relying on Hashem that he will give me what I deserve, and even more than I deserve, even the chesed. And he won't be mekapeach me, and he's fair, and I don't have to worry that he doesn't know that I had it so hard, and I grew up in this environment, it's not fair, and other people grew up in a different type of environment, and that's why they're, nobody's ahead of you, you are what you are, and Hashem decided who your parents should be, and Hashem decided what environment you're going to live in, unless you made a bad bechira, and you decided to live in a, I don't want to say neighborhoods, I don't want to say, you decided to live in an area with not such good neighbors, because it's a posh area, and you want to live there. That's, then it's bechir already. That's not so good. Then you may be responsible for all the ramifications that come out of that, with your own behavior and tznius and yonim and your children, and you know that might be attributed to a choice you made about where to live, or even which school to go to. Right. So we can't blame everything on Hashem because there's bechira. And sometimes we have to eat the ramifications of choices we've made. I'm getting back to the Chayvus Halvavus, it says there's no exact explanation of what's an Olam Hazeschar, what mitzvah carries an Olam Hazeschar, what mitzvah carries an Olam Haboschar, what mitzvah carries both. Ach orev haporev La'amo, Hashem is responsible. Hashem guarantees. Gemul kolel al ma'isa kolel. V'lo chilek ha'gemul al avodos ba'olam. Hashem does not, we're not privy to the schar for mitzvahs. Kemosha asa ba'onesh al averas ba'olam. We are privy in the Torah. We know what's a worse avera and what's not, because we know what carries Malkus and what carries Misa and what carries Kares. So we have an idea of the relative Chomer of the Avera itself. It's always it's always mitigated, of course, by the circumstance and by what I had to choose and by what's my Nekudas HaBechira. People might recognize that phrase in the Michtam Elio. So There are always factors and factors and more factors, but at least we know what the essence. This is a worse avera that you could say with confidence, because this avera carries kares. Chil Shabbos is a worse avera, carries misos beistin. Even within misos beistin, there's gradations of skilus, reifa, herig, bechenek. So we know, we can confidently say this is a worse avera. He's going through all the things that you have to pay for and different types of payments you have to make and different punishments you get. So in Olam Azeh, with Lavin, we know pretty much. With Aseis, we don't know, with two exceptions that were mentioned here. Kibbutz of Eim and Shiluach HaKeim. But then, even that, we don't know what it means exactly. Avol gemul olam haba va'onsho lo pirish mem hanavi meuma besifro ba'avur kam upon him. In other words, he slides into a question. Reward for mitzvah saseis are said in the Torah in very general terms. He's speaking to the nation. If you do the mitzvahs, you'll have rain and you'll have peace and you'll have it good. You don't do the mitzvahs. For individuals, we are privy even to lavin, what the punishments for lavin. This is all an olam hazeh. Why in the world is the Chavis HaLodos now going to give 5-6 reasons? And this may have troubled you, and may have not. Maybe it's going to only trouble you now because you're learning Chavis HaLodos. Why is there no mention of olam haba anywhere in the Torah? It's such a major part of our world outlook. It's such a major part of our hashkafa. It's such a major part of our lives. It's something we cut our teeth on, so to speak. And we teach our children, Olam Haba, and Gehenna. The Torah doesn't mention a word of this. Why? How come? What are we supposed to make of it? So, the Chazal of all this now, number 6 is applying bitachon that it's there. Hashem will give it. Later on, he'll say the second point I said in the Hakdama, that it's bitachon that Hashem will give it as a chesed. Even if it's not midas hadin mamish. I cheated, okay. But now he segues sort of into a question. Why is there no mention of schar or onesh of olam haba, gehenim, anywhere in the Torah? So he gives a few terutzim, and they each start with the word mehem, as he is wont to do. One of them is, he says, we can't visualize, our minds cannot grasp the neshama without a guf. We talk the talk, we say the right words, we talk about the neshama, and Ruchnius, we don't know what we're talking about. There's no picture formed in our minds when we talked about Ruchnius. Maybe we think of angels with wings flapping around like birds, or we figure some holy cloud. But that's all physical. It's all physical visualizations. That's the problem. That's the point. Our minds cannot really grasp because we can't visualize. Spirituality, we don't grasp it. So if we understand Hashem says, "I'll give you a good steak and a geshmaka bottle of wine or some Mountain Dew," that we understand. But if Hashem would talk about the sublime schar in Olam Haba that the neshama has, we're like clueless. It wouldn't mean anything to us. That's reason number one. Kitzuras hanefesh baladei haguf, eina yudua etzleinu. We don't know what the neshama without a guf looks like, and the word looks like is also a joke. It doesn't look like anything, right? Kol shekein, so we certainly don't know. You know, I know what pleasure is my guf, but I don't know what pleasure is my neshama, because I don't know what my neshama is, even. So we talk the talk. We say, my neshama, it's a chelek aloka, and it's closeness to Hashem, and it's very pleasurable to be close to Hashem, to be dovek b'Hashem, but it's all words. It's all words. I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't want to disappoint anybody. I don't know what I'm talking about. We know what words to use, because we learned the Sfarim. So he says, the Torah doesn't... So he says, Koshke Mashat Tisanik Bo, what pleasures the neshama, O Titztayer, or what makes the neshama suffer, in Yanahu. Ach Perishel sold the Mishoya Maven in Yanazeh. Yes, there were Nevi'im. There were people, Nevi'im usually, who were able to... That's part of what prophecy is. They're able to meditate, maybe, and enter a spiritual realm and understand spirituality. I don't know if it comes through meditation. Everybody's going to run out there and join a Zen class. I don't know. A Buddhism. Kamo Shomer Hashem Li Yeshua Kohen Agodol. Right, Kamo Shomer Li Yeshua. Hashem says to Yeshua Kohen Agodol. This is the Ma'adav Torah to Shabbos Chanukah and to Baloscha. So we're about to lay it. Hey, what do you know? Another 2.5 weeks. Oh, yeah. V'nosati lo mahalchim bein ha'omdim o'eile. So he was talking about the malachim, and I'll give you standing amongst the malachim. And apparently Yeshua... So see, there is a pasuk that talks b'feirish about something like Gan Eden. It says, I will place you, you will have your place among the malachim. That's what Hashem tells Yeshua. But it meant something to him. I don't know what this is saying. To an omni, it might have meant something, and therefore Hashem said it to him. And this is not going to happen to Yehoshua HaKohen HaGadol. Didn't happen when he was alive that he went to the Malachim. Avol Ramaz, so here is like a pretty strong hint in the Pasuk, that this is something taking place after death. That there's life after death, and after death you will go, you will be walking. Again, walking is, again, just a word that we use. Obviously, there's no feet there, there's no walking. So you will be walking amongst the malachim. Shetoshev ha-nefesh b'tzuras ha-malachim b'inyam b'shitusa. Because the nefesh is not murkav from different parts, it's pashut. V'dakusa, it's subtlety. V'ozva l'hishtamesh b'gufa, no more guf, k'shet izdakech. The taz, and it's purified, the tazir, and it'll shine. If you had ma'asim tovim b'olam hazeh, so all these, you'll be like a malach, and this will be the effects upon your neshama. Okay, so number one is because we have no way to relate to it. So there's no words, we don't understand it. We don't even know the neshama. We're not going to know what makes the neshama up. What pleasures the neshama? What makes the neshama feel good? Umehem, reason number two. Shegmul olam haba va'on shohayim mekubal etzol ami ha'ores mehanaviim. It was always known in Klal Yisrael through Mesorah from the Neviim, from the Doros, from Moshe Rabbeinu, maybe from Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. Umuskal etzol achachamim. So we got it b'kabbalah from the Neviim. And the Chachamim understood it. They understood its the rationale. They understood how it has to be that it exists. The Hinichol the Zochro b'Sefer. So it wasn't mentioned in a Sefer. Kamo Sheinichol Lizkor Habi Miperish Hamitzos VaHacholos Neisha Samchu Ala Kabbalah. This Teretz is like counterintuitive almost. He's saying it was so widespread. It was so well known because we had it the Kabbalah from the Nevi'im, and it was something that we lived with. And something that was so commonly known that there was no need to write it down. Yeah, of course there's an Olam Haba. Of course that's the Mokum of Gemul, is Olam Haba. That's his second reason. Umeham, the third reason. Here the Chavis Halvavos really has a singular Shita, different than many other Svarim. And you just have to accept that. And he says it a few times throughout the Sefer. He just mentions it. It's not a very, very big deal, but I'm speaking out that it is different than other Mefarshim. The Chavis Halvavos says that the door that received the Torah, the door in the Midbar, were, we think of them as Dordea. We told them Dordea, and the Chavis Halvavos talks about them as being a primitive people that just came out of Mitzrayim. And they had to be told things like Lo Tirzach and Lo Sinof, and those were things they had to be told, and they're coming from point zero, slaves for centuries, and they were not holding by anything. That's the Chavis Halvavos view. We call them Dordea and Rosa Shivcha Layam, Mashlei Rosa Yecheskel Ben Muzi. Okay, I don't know. That's what Chavis Halvavos holds. So he's going to say it again here. Sheha'om Hoyum and Hasichlus, the generation that received the Torah, and the Torah had to be especially, the Torah is always relevant, obviously, but it had to be mamish relevant to the people that got it, and were going to study it for the next 40 years. We know that from things that it says in the Torah. If you want your son to behave, so you don't talk about you don't talk about how he's going to get into a good college. You want your son to study and get a good mark on the test in the second grade. So you don't talk about how he's going to get into a good college. You don't know what you're talking about. You tell him, here's a nice lollipop, and if you get a good mark on the test, I'll give you another lollipop. Or it could be a healthy lollipop, it's okay. Or if you start behaving in school, I'll buy you a bike. That's what you tell a child. He says, B'nai Yisrael were children then. Hashem's not going to tell them, do the mitzvahs, do the rotzon haborei, because there's Olam Haba. They were like children. You say, do mitzvahs, it's going to rain. So telling people it's going to rain if you do the mitzvahs is like telling a child. So there was Halvavos, and they were in that category. Like telling a child, if you behave, I'll buy you a candy. B'no ha-gabori imo ha-mina ga'ov, ha-chomel al-b'no ha-katon. By the way, that's a good sheet for chinuch also. Don't hit your kid with ideas till he or she is ready for it. Meanwhile, you just give him candy. You have to progress with them. Minagav achoma b'nakotin shirotzal yasser b'nachas ula'at slowly b'madrega k'moshe kosev kinar Yisrael v'ohavehu. Hashem loved us. We were bnei Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, but we were children. If he wants to teach his son when he's young, the chochmas that he will grow and he will be able to earn a living and he will understand Torah and he'll become a mensch. So the child's holding by nothing, right? The child is, whether it's a child of 3 or a child of 13, right? Or a child of 18, whatever the age is, but they're still children. Imagine going to your child, says the Chavis Halvavos, and say, yes, it's hard to study, and it's hard to, you have to work on your homework, and it's hard to be a masmid, and it's hard to get up in the morning and go to shachris, it's very hard, but, you're going to get to Olam Haba, right? The child's going to turn around, go back to sleep. Imagine telling your child, because one day you're going to become a gadol, you're going to become a tzaddik, you're going to find favor in the eyes of Hashem. Child has no interest. He's holding by there. You're talking to the wall. Bavur shatala behen al hamailos hachamudos lo yosov alazeh. The child will not even have patience to listen. You're not talking his language. below Shemaya Ela. Parenting class. The child's not listening to you. He doesn't hear what you're saying. He doesn't understand what you're saying. It doesn't mean anything. Then they say, Maven, old son, you want to be a good boy. I don't know a good boy. I wanna be what I am. B'chashe yedu al zeh, but if you promise the child, I'll make you your favorite supper. I'll give you a good snack. And I'll buy you the bike. B'meshu orav lo miyad, because the child wants instant gratification. We're all children, by the way. So the child wants instant gratification. Machol, mishte, malbushno, buy a new suit for Pesach. If you work hard, you have to know what the child's attention span is. Maybe it's only 4 days, right? He won't be good for the whole semester just because you're going to buy him a new suit for Pesach. He's like, after 4 days, he's finished already. Umerkevis, no. Oh, he's buying him a car. Look at that. Whoa. Now, for that, you got to be on the dean's list in college, come on, to get a car. Markevis, no. That's what it means. Vadoimel is that. The Yoidu, and he'll warn him. This is in an age where it went both ways. Nowadays, you're not allowed to say the second half, but the Chavis HaLovis is not nowadays, and he said the second half, but he's saying, don't tell him, one day he won't be able to find a job, and he won't, you have to tell him, I'm gonna smack you, or you're not going on the trip. You have to tell him things that he can relate to. The Yoideu, you warn him, B'meshi Yitzar Oso Miyad. Again, we don't do this nowadays, or we're told not to. May ro'ov ve'erom, I'm not going to get you the new suit. Umalkus v'adom elohem v'yishev daita al mashayiv techolov. Right, but if you promise him good and you give him and you warn him with punishments he understands, and you tell him that it's, the Lord is very interesting, he says, and you amazbit to him as much as he can understand that this is a good thing to do. He's being good. He wants to be good, he doesn't want to be bad. He wants to be good. And you tell him, you don't understand now why it's good to be good, or why you should be good, but so I'll give you a candy. But the Lord wants you to start training him not just to act robotically and get the candy, but you want to show him that you're teaching him morals and values and being good. Good. Tov. He doesn't want to be ra, he wants to be tov. The yishev daite al mashayif techol of min ha-ro'oyos hamrugoshos from simple rayas for adius agluyos amitios yekel olav lisbol yegias hamusr v'losis tarcho, then he'll be able to to not run outside to play when he has to study for a test, or to come home on time when you told him what time to come home and he's having a good time. If he knows he'll get rewarded and he knows he'll get punished and he sort of intuitively is taught to understand that this is called being good, and the child at that point wants to be good, he hasn't thought it through, but he wants his parents to like him, he wants his parents to be pleased with him. Every child does. The ones that are misbehaving want it more than anyone else, but they want. As he gets older, 30, 40, 50 years old, the Yitzhak Sichlo, he gets some seichel in his head. Yovin ha'inyon, then he understands himself why he has to do these things. Hamachuvin eilav b'musro, the yechavin eilav, and that's what he'll intend to. He'll be trained already, so it won't be so difficult to do. He'll be trained if you trained him well, but he'll, it'll dawn on him as he grows up. You lessen the candy and you increase the explanation. The Chavis HaLvavus doesn't like, sometimes you have to say, because I said so, because the child doesn't understand the reason. But then you have to offer him candy if you're saying, because I said so. And as he gets older, you lessen the candy and you increase the explanation so that he should understand why this is good to do, why this is important to do. As he grows, you increase the seichel part of his seichel, the timad bein of ha'arivus, and you lower the fact that it's geshmak. I get a candy. Hashahoyer rotzei leha b'tchilas inyana. The way is alechem olav. Guess what, says the Chedus HaVavus? That's what Hashem did to us. We finished the parenting class, and now we're going back to the Chedus HaVavus' point. Hashem's not going to talk about all of my, but we weren't holding by anything near there. Forget it. We were, again, his shita is, we weren't holding by anything. So you say, this is going to happen to you if you're bad. This is bad. This is what I don't like, and you're going to get misa if you don't do it. And if you do good, you're going to get rain, and you're going to have crops, and you're going to have food to eat. That they understand, you know, but they start talking about ruchnius and olam haba and being korof to Hashem. It's like talking to a four-year-old how he's going to get into a good school, get a good shidduch when he grows up. V'chein habori yisborech yichel amo v'hifchidom. He scared them with what they were holding by at that point in their history. That's the gemul ba'onish m'maharim. Immediate, instant gratification, instant punishment. As they get older and more mature and learn Torah and the nation grows up, so they'll start understanding about Olam Haba, and the Nevi'im will start telling them about Olam Haba, and they'll be able to incorporate it into their lives. V'yichadlu ba'avoda eila v'yisnagu ba'oda v'cheinoma v'chol ma'asheh b'sforim mehakshamas habori yisporach. Interesting sentence, that whenever we talk, we assign to HaKadosh Baruch Hu anything that's physical, which happens like hundreds, thousands of times throughout Chumash, anytime we say the words Vayar Hashem, Vayadaber Hashem, Vayered Hashem, Vayishma Hashem, it's Hashem talking to children, because we wouldn't understand if the Torah would express it in the ruchniyistika terms. So Hashem uses a verb that we can understand. Hashem heard. Hashem doesn't hear. There's no sound waves, and Hashem doesn't have ears, and there's no vocal cords, and Hashem doesn't hear, and there's no inner ear. But if he would use the words that would express that we communicated with Hashem, right? That's the word I would use, and we wouldn't understand how. So Hashem heard their cries, but it's not real. So at that, very interesting. The Rebbe says, like a major, like Yisrael, he says, those words in the Torah that assign physical properties to Hashem is also part of this system, because they weren't holding by hearing anything else. So it's like talking to a child about being good and moral because it's the right thing to do. So along those lines, Hashem had to talk to them in a language they could understand. You know, Hashem heard, Hashem smelled the reach of Noach's korbanos. Hashem got angry. Hashem, but it's really talking, because it's talking to children.
Can
okay.
I
yeah.
No, thank you.